Hey, this is Greg Sanders. Thanks for listening today. It's our hope that this message will help you connect to God, grow in His Word, and serve the kingdom in a greater capacity. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
This morning, I want to get back to our series entitled Navigating Uncertainty. How many know we still live in some uncertain times? I was telling someone this morning about the schedule, about the family service, and I said, yeah, that's what we're going to do. That's the plan until the plan changes. Does anyone else feel like the plans are always changing right now? We're always navigating uncertainty. And today I want to talk to you. Here's the deal. I want to talk to you about connecting to God through uncertainty, because just because your life is uncertain doesn't mean that this needs to be a season where you connect to God any less. I'll never forget several years ago, this is many years ago, we got this new satellite television at our house, and we just thought it was wonderful. We'd gone years without having cable. This was before streaming on Netflix and all that stuff, and we finally had satellite cable, and we were watching television one night, and there was a storm coming through, a tornado was coming through, and the Weather Channel, we were watching it, was telling us that this tornado was headed right towards not just our town, but the area of town that we live in, and it was getting closer and closer, and about the time I really got concerned, the screen went blank, and it said, no signal. And I thought, the moment where I need signal most, I don't have it. Sometimes I feel like when we have uncertainty with life, we feel like if it's an uncertain time, we lose our connection with God. But I want to tell you, every moment, no matter how big the storm may seem, is a moment you can connect with God. Psalms 46 says it like this, that God is our refuge and our strength. Listen to these words, a very present help in trouble. I want to ask you to look at that scripture on the screen this morning. Did you notice it doesn't say that he's just a past help, right? And it doesn't say that he's a future help, though he will be. The thing that encourages me is that he is a present help. He's a right now help. He's an in this room help. He's an in your mess help. He's an in your marriage help. He's an in your finances help. Whatever you're in today, that's the help that he offers to you this morning. He's our present help in time of trouble. So how do we connect with God when we need present help? And this morning, I'm going to look at perhaps the most well-known scripture in the Word of God. If it's not the most well-known, it's definitely the top five well-known scriptures in all of God's Word. It's found in Psalms chapter 23. Many of you could quote it, but I want to ask you to read it with me together. On your mark, get set, let's go. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. Father, I'm thankful you're our present help. Lord, I'm thankful that your goodness and mercy is chasing after us every single day of our life, not just the good days or the bad days. Every single day, the goodness and the mercy of God is on our heels in our present day. And Father, I pray that today, if there's someone watching online or sitting in this room today who needs to connect with you, maybe their storm that they're facing has caused them to feel like they're getting a no-signal message from you. Lord, I pray that today you'll renew the revelation of their heart, the reality to their heart, that you are present with them today, and help us to connect with you no matter what we're going through. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you read this scripture, and actually this is a song, and I'm not going to try to sing it to you because I don't know the tune, but if you read this scripture this morning, do you get the sense that David, the psalmist, he's not singing this scripture out of celebration, Right? He's not singing this because he's sitting on his kingly throne in the palace. He's not singing this scripture to the Lord because everything is going right. No, when you read the scripture, when you hear David singing the scripture, you can tell that David is singing this in the middle of uncertainty. And if there was ever a guy in the Word of God who dealt with uncertainty, it had to be David. I mean, I don't know if he's singing this in a cave because Saul's trying to kill him. I don't know if he's singing this while he's hiding out in the wilderness because his son's trying to kill him. I don't know if he's singing this in his back bedroom because his son, his child, has just died. I don't know if he's singing this because he's running from his own sin and his own pride. I just know this. David had a lot of uncertainty. In the middle of his uncertainty, he had this hope. He had this reality in his heart that the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. No matter what I'm going through, he was able to connect with God, and so can you. I want to say this today. You can connect with God today, despite the uncertainty you're living in and you're going through. And not only can you connect with God in the middle of your uncertainty, he wants you to connect with God in your uncertainty. See, I'm convinced, I've said this before, I'm convinced there's certain lessons from God you're only going to learn in the moments of life where the pressure's turned up, where the pain needle's reading in the red, where uncertainty is high. Now, I know you can learn theology in any season. But the season of uncertainty is where your theology becomes reality. Your theology moves from what I think to what I know. Did you know there's a difference between what you think and what you know? See, before I became a parent, there's a lot of things I thought. But now that I got two little girls that call me dad, now there's some things I know. And here's what I can tell you. What I know is less than what I thought. But what I know is much more certain. Does that make sense? So how can we have certainty? How can we connect with God in the middle of uncertainty? I want to give you a few ways this morning. And this is going to be, you're going to go home tomorrow, and if someone asks you, what did the preacher preach on? You're going to pass the test tomorrow. This may be the only day in your life you've ever passed it. Don't feel bad. Sometimes I don't pass the Monday test either, and I'm the guy that preached a bit. But my three points are straight from Scripture this morning, that Scriptures you already know most likely. Here's point number one. Remember that the Lord is my shepherd. Did you notice the personal pronoun used by David in that Scripture? He says the Lord is what? My. Whose shepherd is he?
My.
Whose shepherd is he? He's not just the person across the room, shepherd. He's not just the super spiritual person that you heard about how God met their need miraculously, shepherd. No, he's your shepherd. Amen? We've got this little game I play with our two-year-old. Her name is Nora. And I've been playing this game with her for quite a while now. And when I first started playing this game with her, I'd say, Nora, whose girl are you? And I'll just tell you, her instinct was, the first time I ever asked her that, she said, I'm mommy's girl. And I said, no, Nora, don't say that. Say you're daddy's girl. And we had some eye-to-eye conversations. That if anyone asked you whose girl you are, you would say, daddy's girl. And I would work on it with her, and I'd finally convince her to say, I'm daddy's girl. Until, you know, the next day I asked her again. I said, whose girl are you? I'm mommy's girl. No, you're daddy's girl. And now it's finally, you know, now she's 2 years old. She's smart and she's very diplomatic like her dad is. Now when I ask her that question, she'll say, I'm daddy's girl. I'm mommy's girl. I'm Stella's girl. I'm Papaw's girl. She is good. She's everybody's girl. But can I tell you, I just enjoyed having that personal affection directed my way, right? And David says, the Lord, yeah, he loves everybody, but he is my shepherd. Amen? He's my shepherd. He's my overseer. He's my protector. He's my defender. He's my friend. He's the one that's been faithful to me. He's the one that walks with me through fire. He's the one that healed me of my disease. He's my shepherd. I'm glad he's your shepherd, but I'm rejoicing over the fact that he's my shepherd today. See, what you got to know this morning is the Lord is your shepherd. Amen. How do I connect with God in uncertain times? I connect by remembering He's my shepherd. John chapter 10 says it like this. Jesus speaking says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my own sheep. Luke chapter 12, Jesus speaks again. He says, why, even the hairs on your head are numbered. Now, this scripture is so important because for all of our study for God, and you need to study about who God is. You need to read the Word so you know how He acts. You need to be familiar with His Spirit so you can recognize His voice. But for all of this study about who God is, you got to make sure you don't miss the point of whose you are. Amen? You are His, right? He's your shepherd, the Middle Eastern shepherd. I was reading about these past weeks, says that a shepherd so loves his sheep that he gives each of them a name, that he can actually recognize, distinguish them apart by the tones that they make when they're baying. They can recognize them from a distance. I don't know about you, but when I walk up to a field full of sheep, I think they all look alike, right? They look alike, they sound alike, they smell alike. It's all the same, but a shepherd, he looks at those and he can call them by name. Can I tell you, God can call you by name this morning? There are billions of people on earth, but when he looks at you, he knows exactly who you are. He's your shepherd. And there's a certain, listen friends, there's a certain level of peace that you're not going to achieve until you understand He's your shepherd. He cares for you. He knows you by name. He knows your tendency. He knows what you're going through. He knows what you're facing today. You know, on the picture of my cell phone this morning, I can blow it up, and I've done this for so many times, so some of y'all wish I'd stop. But I've got the picture of these two girls, and I put them on the screen, and on my phone you can see I've just went ahead and blew it up, and mom and dad got gypped. They're out of the picture, right? It's just those two girls. And sometimes people, when I meet them, Brother Mike, they'll say, so who are you? What do you do? Tell you about yourself. And I'll get my phone out. I'll say, well, these are my two girls. This is Stella. This is Nora. If you touch them, I'll kill you. Right? Don't you say the same thing about your kids and your grandkids? Can I tell you? You're the picture on God's cell phone. Right? You are the image that He treasures above all else. He is your shepherd. 1 John chapter 3 says that the Father has loved us so much that we are called children of God, and we really are His children. The reason the people don't know us is that they haven't known Him. And so you've got to know, if I'm going to connect with the Lord, then I've got to remember the Lord is my shepherd. And by the way, it's not just personal that He's our shepherd. There's actually a pragmatic part of this. There's a practical part of that statement that the Lord is my shepherd. It's because David, if anyone knew anything about kings, it was David. David knew that human leadership could be fickle, right? David knew that human kings could come and go. He'd already seen Saul come and Saul go. He'd seen other kingdoms around the world had kings that were up one day and down the next. He could see that how the king went, the kingdom went. How when they had a good king, things went well. When they had a king with bad judgment, things went bad. But David says, the Lord isn't just my shepherd. The Lord, amen, the Lord is my shepherd. There's no fickle in Him. He doesn't move. He doesn't change. He's not up one day and down the next. The Lord is my shepherd. His economy doesn't change. His resources doesn't change. His goodness doesn't change. The Lord is my shepherd. A lot of people get up in arms about politics, and you should be very, very concerned about convictions when it comes to elections and all that stuff. But I can tell you this, on November the 4th, the Lord is still going to be my shepherd, and I shall not want, no matter what the political spectrum looks like. Amen? I get worried. We need to be vocal. We need to be convictional. We need to stand for righteousness. But we also need to be convinced that no matter what the world does, no matter if you think the world is going to hell and a handbag, the Lord is still my shepherd. Amen? I do get concerned. I know some of you wish I'd get off this. But I do get concerned about Christians who have this fear in their voice that if something doesn't go their way, if the world doesn't move, that everything's going to fall apart. And I just wonder, is that symbolizing that we're putting more faith in a man's system than we are God's system? See, he's my shepherd. Only way I can connect with God when things are uncertain is I got to remember he is certain. The Lord is my shepherd. So I got to remember that. Number two, I got to declare that I shall not, say this with me, I shall not want. Another version of the NLT says this way, I have all I need. Why don't you turn to your neighbor and say, hey, I got all I need. I got all I need. Sometimes, you know, having all you need is seen, it's easier to see looking back than it is looking forward. Looking forward, all you see is the money you don't have, the resources you don't have, the time you don't have, the ability you don't have. When you look forward, all you see these big gaps and these big holes, these big inabilities. You wonder, how on earth is all this space going to be filled? But when you look back, you can see how God's already filled them, right? You can see how he did whatever was required to meet your need. See, David said, the Lord is my shepherd. I have all I need. When he was in the palace, he had all he needed. When he was in the cave hiding from Saul, the Lord was all he needed. When he was on the run and Absalom had stolen the kingdom, he had all he needed. On the outside looking in, it may not look like he had all he needed, but he declared, the Lord is my shepherd, therefore I have all that I need. I'll never forget several years ago, maybe I've told this story before and you can pretend like you've never heard about it, but several years ago, Megan and I were going through a pretty, I don't want to say depressing season, but we just had I had some pretty big decisions to make. Pretty big disappointments I was facing, and I wasn't, like I said, I don't really get really high or really low, but this was about as low as I've gotten. I just had a season where you need the Lord just to show up in some way. You really don't care how. You just, Lord, somehow just let me know that you know that I'm on this planet. I was kind of in one of those seasons, and this isn't a really big deal, but I needed some new tires on my truck. Not like I needed new tires, like I needed new tires. Like, it was so bad, I'd had three or four people stop me and said, hey, Pastor, you know, you need some new tires on that truck. And I had the money to buy the new tires. But how many of you know, sometimes just because you got the money doesn't mean you need to spend the money? That's kind of the season. I knew I had to, I just didn't want to, and so I just kept on thinking, well, I'll do it next month. I'll do it after Christmas. I just kept on pushing off. And anyway, long story short, the guy in our church who I was not particularly close to at all showed up in my office one day, came right in my office, said, Pastor, I really need to borrow your truck. I just bought some new furniture, and I'm in my car, and could I borrow your truck for like 2 hours? And I was really excited that I could actually loan this guy. I thought, this is going to be a bridge. I can, you know. So I gave him the keys of my truck. He took off. 2 hours later, he came back, put my keys back on my desk, and I just kept on working. I was like at 2 o'clock, he brought the truck back. About 4:30, I went to take care of some church business, and I walked out to my truck, and instead of having white letter tires, I had blue letter tires, right? How many know the letters are blue when you get brand new tires, right? And I walked out, and this guy had bought me 4 brand new tires for the pickup. I'll just tell you, that's about a $1,300 set of tires. And I was beside myself. I called the guy. I said, man, I don't know what led you to do this, but man, thank you so much. This is awesome. So unexpected. And he said, Greg, it really wasn't up to me. He said, I just felt the Lord tell me, buy the pastor some tires today. He said, so I had to. Hung up the phone with him. And I just felt this overwhelming presence of the Lord. And I felt the Lord whisper to me, Greg, you are not alone. See, the Lord is your shepherd. When you have him, you have all you need. Psalms 37 says, I have been young. Come on, finish it with me. But now I'm old. But I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging for bread. Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, he said, consider the ravens. They never sow, nor do they reap. They neither have a storehouse nor a barn, yet God feeds them. How much more valuable are you than birds? 2 Corinthians verse number 8 of chapter 9 says, and God will provide all you need. Therefore, you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. Deuteronomy chapter 2 says, for the Lord your God has blessed you in everything you've done. He has watched over your every step through this great wilderness. During these 40 years, the Lord has blessed you and you have lacked nothing. See, when David says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, that does not mean that every desire he could conjure up was instantly met by God. As a matter of fact, I've got this spiritual gift. I'm not sure. It's not listed in the spiritual gifts, but I'm pretty sure it's one. If you will take me shopping with you, it doesn't matter, any kind of furniture shopping, clothes shopping, vehicle shopping, it doesn't matter. You just take me to a retail outlet with you, and the shirt I like, the car I like, the computer I want, the shoes I'm fond of, they will always, always be the most expensive ones in the room. Without me looking at the price tag. It's just like, I like this shirt. Yep, it's the one not on sale. Right? That's just like my spiritual gifting. And so, you know what I do? I usually buy nothing because I realize, you know, I'm cheap like that. But so this scripture isn't saying that you're never going to have some item out there that you don't want. But it is saying that you're never going to be lacking. What it is saying is even in the middle of uncertainty, Jesus will always be more than enough. See, Paul said, I know what it's like to have little. I don't know what it's like to be in need. What he was saying was, I know what it's like to have enough when I have a little and when I have much. Jesus is enough when I'm sick and when I'm well. Jesus is enough when I'm employed and when I'm not. Jesus is enough when I'm on top of the world or when the world's on top of me. Jesus is enough if the economy's good or the economy's bad. Jesus is enough whether things seem to be going right or if everything seems to be going wrong. The Lord is my shepherd. He's more than enough. And I lack no good thing because he's my shepherd. Amen? I shall not want. Psalm says, in his presence is every good thing, is fullness of joy. Ephesians chapter 5 says, he is able to do exceedingly above all we could ask or think or imagine. 1 Kings chapter 17, Elijah was sent to a town. The Lord told him, listen, there's huge famine going on. I mean, Elijah knew it. He's the one that spoke and caused the famine. No one has enough. But God told Elijah, go to this particular town. And you're going to see a widow there. And she's going to take care of you. She's going to feed you. And you will not lack anything during this famine. You know the story. He shows up. He tells the widow what God said. And she says, well, listen, I don't have anything but a little bit of oil and a little bit of meal. I was going to make us some pancakes, and we're about to have this, and we're about to die, right? And Elijah told her, listen, this jar of oil will not run out. This meal will always be enough. And friends, God chose to feed Elijah. He fed that household in the middle of a situation where everyone had lacked. They had more than enough. Why? Because the Lord was his shepherd, and therefore he lacked nothing. Friends, in the middle of uncertainty, you can connect with God knowing that he is your shepherd, and therefore you will lack nothing. Third, this morning, how to connect with God in the middle of uncertainty. The third way to connect is you realize you can rest in the Lord, right? He makes me to lay down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. You know, experts tell us that right now in the middle of this pandemic that many people are suffering with mental fatigue, right? They're just worn out from uncertainty. They're worn out from not knowing. I mean, how many conversations have you had about school starting the next few weeks, right? I mean, you've had so many conversations about it. What else is there to say? I mean, I'm not a health expert, but I've boiled it down to this. We'll see what happens, right? I mean, that's, who knows? And this uncertainty is wearing on people's minds. Mental health has become a really big concern in our nation, not just our nation, around the world. But the scripture says that he can give us rest, that he can give us peace, that he can cause us to lay down in green pastures. And when I've read that scripture, I've read that scripture all my life, just like you have, and I've always assumed that the Lord is going to lead me to this perfect place so I can rest in him. But upon further research, I've discovered that, you know, most green pastures, especially in the Middle East where Jesus was speaking up, where people would picture in their minds when David used this terminology in green pastures were not the result of finding the perfect place. A green pasture was the result of a shepherd walking through and picking up stone after stone after stone and moving them to the edge of the field. You know, every time it rained, guess what it would do? It would reveal more stones. And the shepherd would pick up those stones and move them to the edge of the field. Green pastures is not the result of the right circumstance. Get this morning. A green pasture is the result of the presence of a good shepherd. Amen. And this morning, your life doesn't have to be perfect for you to have the ability to lay down and rest in the Lord, because, friends, you can spend your whole life chasing green pastures, or you can follow the Lord Jesus Christ, who can make any place a resting place for those who trust in him. Matthew chapter 8, the disciples were in the boat with Jesus, simply following his command to go to the other side. And you know the story, the storm blew up and Peter woke up Jesus and said, "Don't you care that we're perishing?" And Jesus woke up and said, "Where's your faith?" And he spoke to that storm and they were calm. And the disciples said, "Who is this that even makes the sea stand still?" I'll tell you who it was. He's the good shepherd. He can cause any place, even the stormy place of your life, to be a resting place. Psalmist goes on to say in chapter 118 that the Lord is with me, so I will not be afraid. For what can mere mortals do to me? See, a shepherd's job, Megan, if you want to come, a shepherd's job involves providing for the sheep, watching over the sheep while they sleep, protecting the sheep when they are most vulnerable. And I find it encouraging that this scripture we're studying about the next couple weeks, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," was sung by David, who, when David comes on the scene in the book of Samuel, you remember that? Remember when Daniel came on the scene? Samuel was sent to Jesse's house to anoint the next king. And when Samuel gets to Jesse's house, he looks at each of David's brothers and says, God says, "That's not him, that's not him, that's not him." Let me ask you a question. Where was David when Samuel showed up to anoint him as king. Where was he? Say it loud so the people online can hear you. He was tending sheep. When David says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures." He knew exactly what he was declaring of the Lord. Because David himself had been a faithful shepherd, right? He wouldn't leave his sheep because there's a party in the house. When he shows up to fight Goliath, his shepherding skills is what he relies upon. He tells King Saul, "Listen, I've killed the lion and I've killed the bear while keeping my father's sheep, and this Philistine will be just like him." In other words, David knew that a good shepherd didn't just watch his sheep, but he fought for their sheep. He protected those sheep. He provided for those sheep. He would risk his own life and lay it down for those sheep. And he said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He gives me rest." And today I want to ask you, bow your heads this morning, because I want to ask you, has the uncertainty of life caused you to miss connection with your Father? Are you struggling to connect with God in the middle of uncertainty? Many people are. It's a very, very easy place to be because we become so focused on being our own shepherd, being our own provider, being our own protector. We get so focused on making sure the outward things are going the direction we think, and we forget of this certainty we have in the Lord, that the Lord is our shepherd. And with him, we can rest assured that we lack nothing and that he will give us rest. In this private moment today, you say, "Pastor, I am dealing with uncertainty in my life and I need to connect with God fresh and new." Maybe you've just been bombarded by cares, concerns. Maybe you've been so distracted by stress. Maybe you've been so overwhelmed by things that are outside of your control and things that are unknowable. Listen, you can know this, that the Lord is your shepherd, that he can give you everything needed in your life today, and he can give you rest, and he can give you peace. And today say, "Pastor, I need that kind of connection with God. I've been letting other things push you to the side, but I need to reconnect with God today." Would you just lift a hand real quick? Says me, "Pastor, pray for me." Amen, 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 amen. In just a moment, I want to pray for you. I'm going to pray that today you'll discover such a connection with the Lord that you will know that he is present in this time of uncertainty with you. But before I pray that prayer, there is one more question I have to ask, and that is, I want to make sure we're all connected to the Good Shepherd. I want to make sure that you can truly say, "Hey, the Lord is my shepherd. Jesus is my shepherd because I'm following Jesus. I've committed my life to him." And unless you're following Jesus personally, you can't really say that with conviction today. So have you made the Lord your shepherd? Is Jesus your shepherd? Is he the leader of your life? Is he your Savior today? Maybe you started following him years ago and you, whatever reason, your relationship with him has been dormant. Or maybe you just never started following Jesus, and today you need to do that. If that's you today, I would love to include you in a prayer in just a moment. Would you lift your hands? If that's you today. Amen. Can we stand together? All across the church, let's stand together. Megan's playing this song. We're going to sing it together one time through. If you don't know the words, why don't you just take a moment to just worship the Lord with your own words? But if you do know it, let's join in this together before we pray and welcome the peace and the help of God today. Inside. Now, if you're lifting your hands this morning, I just want to pray this over you. Father, I thank you for every person in the room today, especially for those who lifted their hands and said, Lord, I need to connect with you in this time of uncertainty in my life. I pray they'll do that this morning. God, I pray that the reality that you are their shepherd will just sink in today with a profound revelation that brings change to their life, that brings peace to their life, that you are with them, that you're never going to leave them, you're never going to forsake them, that you are with them. Lord, you're their shepherd. You're stable. You are good. You are faithful. You're their shepherd. And that with you, they will lack nothing. Lord, in their future, they may not see how it's going to work out. In their future, there may seem like there's going to be loss, there's going to be inadequacy, but Lord, with you, there's always more than enough. So be their more than enough this morning. Be their present help in times of trouble. And give them peace. Lord, peace that can only come from the Father. God, I pray the tormenting darts of the enemy that's tried to target their mind would fall null and void this morning, and that the peace of God will reign. Lord, you are our shepherd, and in you we're not going to want. And you're going to give us the rest that we need so that we can connect with you in every single season. In Jesus' name. Why don't you give the Lord a hand clap for his word today? We love you, Lord.
Hello, this is Greg Sanders, pastor of the Assembly here in Cabot. I want to say thanks for listening today. If you are ever in the Cabot area, we'd love to have you join us for a service. For service times, check out our webpage at theassemblycabot.com. Thanks again for listening. We hope you have a great day, and God bless.